topic this evening is meekness. The meaning of meekness is mild of temper, gentle, not easily provoked, humble, gentle of spirit, not proud. And we're going to start off by looking at some verses in Psalms, but before we do that, I would like to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Uncle Derek's baby coming safely, and that Debbie's safe. And I pray that you would bless this message now. And I pray that you would give me the words to say. And I pray that we would have safety on the roads going back home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so first, one we're going to look at is Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. And this is my first point here. God promises to bless the meek. And in chapter 22, verse 26, it says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." I'm just going to be listing off promises God gives to the meek of how he's going to bless them right here at the beginning. So turn over to Psalm chapter 25 and verse 9. "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." And also in Psalms chapter 37, 10 and 11. Psalms chapter 37, verse 10 and 11. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Abundance of peace is a great blessing that the Lord gives. That's something that the world doesn't have, and it comes with the peace of God comes after salvation, and after you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And also turn to Psalm chapter 147 towards the end of the book. Psalm chapter 147. And verses 5 and 6. "Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." The Lord lifteth up the meek. That is a huge blessing the Lord can give. And on that note of lifting up, I'll just quickly turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, which says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time," which is what Jesus does for the meek. And one more verse everybody is familiar with, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." God clearly pronounces blessing on the meek. And for my second point this evening, humility, which is part of what meekness is necessary for salvation. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Verses 1 through 4. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." for humility is necessary for salvation. Most men are too proud to admit that they're sinners before a holy God, and that there's something wrong with them and that they need a Savior. They wrongly think that, oh, I'm pretty good. If there was a God, He wouldn't judge me. I'm pretty good. But they're desperately wrong. There's something wrong with all men. And it's sin. And God also has every right to judge men because He's their Creator. And that and He gave His all to save them. And then unbelief takes that gift and stomps on. But also turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There is a measure of humility that is needed for salvation, because you need to be humble enough to see that you need a Savior. My third point this evening, meekness is a key element for unity. In the church, in the home, whenever there's a group, meekness is necessary for there to be unity. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at the first verses, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Vocation there just means calling. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Pride creates strife, but humility and meekness stops it. And it's listed here in the things before, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, meekness brings unity and peace, because if you're humble enough to admit that you're wrong, that'll stop many of the problems that arise. Because, most people are too proud to admit that they are wrong on a matter or something like that. But the meek look for the other person's benefit. We can turn to Philippians, one book over, Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be back here, so keep your spot. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 2 through verse 4 for now. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so if We as a group of believers are each looking out for the benefit of others. We will be profited, and it will result in unity. And then for my fourth point, meekness is an attribute of the Almighty Creator. That is sort of strange to me, how Almighty God could have meekness, humility, sort of strange, but it's in the Bible. And Jesus himself said it in Matthew chapter 11. Let's go ahead and turn there, but you can keep your place there in Philippians because we'll come back. Let's see. Matthew chapter 11. This is Jesus speaking, who is God. He is part of the Trinity. Starting in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is the Creator, and yet his whole life displays meekness. His birth, his ministry, his death, everything shows meekness about him. And go back to Philippians chapter 2, if you're still there. Philippians chapter 2. And pick it back up in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What could make the Creator come to earth and die to save the creation? I've searched, and nothing but God's love for us would cause him to do that. And we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at his love a bit more. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Jesus is the perfect example of charity. And notice how humbly charity is described in this passage. It's vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. It's a very humble characteristic. Jesus is the perfect example of charity, and we each need to be following his example. But if we are proud, we cannot properly be showing charity, because charity is not proud. It's not puffed up. Contradiction to have charity and to be proud. And understanding God's humility shows us a better scope of God's love. He was willing to go through great suffering and shame just to save sinful men, as Romans 5:8 tells us. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That just is really amazing how he could be willing to go through that much humbling to save us. So that was meekness as an attribute of God. But my last point this evening, meekness is for every follower of Christ. And it's something that we should all go after and do because Jesus did it, and we're all supposed to be following his example of and everything he did in his life, character qualities he had. But it's for every believer. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Colossians 3:12-14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, and as Pastor Derek has showed us, that elect means chosen, and the saved or chosen. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is like the highest attribute we can have to follow after. And meekness and humility is a key part of that character quality. Because charity, as we've seen, is humble. I'll turn back quickly to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. We are supposed to learn from the example of Christ, and that's very clear. And he's the perfect example to follow after. And to know about Christ, you got to read your Bible and study it out. And it's a best way to learn about Christ. But many jobs a believer is called to do just won't get done if the Christian is proud. Because it's like, oh, I'm too skilled, I'm too important for that job. Somebody else can take out the garbage in the church or something. That's somebody else's job. It's not the right mindset. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. There's no job too small or too humiliating that the believer can't do. Witnessing for Jesus, like sharing the gospel to others, requires meekness to risk the chance of being embarrassed or being scorned or being slammed in your face. That requires an amount of meekness. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an account, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So, need to be ready always to give an answer. That's like sharing your faith, your gospel, the gospel of Jesus, with meekness and fear. The believer must not share the faith in a "I'm smarter than you" type of way. They're going to see that, and then they're going to think you're some sort of hypocrite, and it would be true. And there is always more humility for the believer to learn. Jesus is our perfect standard, and we're never going to live up to that, but we can always be working on this and always be getting better and still be working on it when we're old. And we have to remember that we have nothing to boast of or be proud of, because it is God that has given us everything we have, and we really shouldn't boast about anything that we've done, because even if you did do something, it was God who let you do that and let you, strengthened you. And if we give the glory to God with meekness, by giving the credit to whom it's due, this will give glory to God. And because we won't be taking credit to ourselves, the meek person won't, they will properly give the glory to God, and giving glory to God is our whole purpose and for our creation. And that's what we should be seeking to do.